come on in and spend some time with the film hobbyist. My name is Lydia, and I love movies. We're here in my attic room. You're sitting on a forest green Walmart futon with a black metal frame. I'm in an old desk chair with cracks in the pleather lining. And next to me is a plain black folding chair. When I share with you my ideas and opinions about movies, they are just that, my ideas. I read plenty of film reviews and watch video essays, but I always try to ensure that I'm not sharing anyone else's thoughts but my own. I don't want to take credit for anyone else's ideas. What would be the point? This doesn't mean my thoughts aren't influenced by other people, but I am not going to talk about a film unless I have enough of my own personal thoughts to share. Today, we're going to talk about James Gunn's Superman, released this past summer. Because of the high profile of this film, there are a million reviews and think pieces and video essays to read or watch on this topic, with a wide variety of opinions and perspectives and ideas. I've read and watched a great deal of them, and I didn't have anything unique to contribute to the conversation. But someone in my life did. And today, I'd like to present his thoughts to you, along with my own research and knowledge. I will be discussing plot specifics, so if you haven't seen this film, track it down on HBO Max or check it out from your local library. But because I don't want to just relay someone else's words, I invited this person here to join us. Sitting here with us, in this plain black folding chair, is my husband, Caleb.
Hello there. I'm really glad to join you in the garret.
Caleb and I have watched so many movies together. When we were first dating, we used to watch movies every Friday. We thought our tastes were pretty similar. But when we got married, it became apparent that there were some distinct differences.
A fact which came starkly into focus while on our honeymoon, when I described the movie The Scorpion King as, quote, a great movie, only for Lydia to come to a very different assessment of the film's quality.
It's a terrible film!
Ah, but so memorable. As you could tell, we have some different tastes. I, for one, love cheesy and sincere movies. Hilarious, romping, barely heard of adventures like Surf Ninjas, and full-hearted, heroic films like 2001 Spider-Man. Stories that leave you with hope for the future, even in the face of difficult circumstances.
I have my limits with films. I don't do bleak or heavy. I have a low threshold for horror. I find if I overstep these limits, the stories follow me and make my life more difficult.
And I would say I have an even lower tolerance than Lydia. I am deeply affected by dark themes without hope. Lydia has had to watch me more than once after a film hit hard and left a cloud hanging over me for a week. I'm particularly bothered by plots involving cruelty to animals, especially dogs.
I'd been following news about James Gunn's Superman for a long time, and it really seemed like it might be the kind of movie that Caleb would really like. I did watch it first with a friend, partially because the timing worked out, and partially because I wanted to make sure that it would work for him, especially that nothing too terrible happened to the dog. I would feel so bad if I hyped up a movie that was actually not okay for him. It's happened in the past, and it's always so hard. But Superman was great, and we both really liked it.
Agreed. My broad take on this Superman is that it gave me a similar feeling to how 2001 Spider-Man made me feel as a boy. Full of hope, with a thrill of heroism. This version of Clark is one of the kindest iterations I've seen. Even while fighting a kaiju, he's going out of his way to check in on everyone, making sure they're okay. At the midpoint, his motivation for turning himself over to the government is so that he can find out what Lex Luthor has done with Krypto. Towards the end, in what I think is one of the most impactful moments of the film, Clark holds up a falling building to allow a woman to escape in her car across a bridge. Once clear, she looks back to see him rising into the air out of the settling rubble. Rays of light shining around him while the score swells. By this point in the movie, we know he's not hesitating there as some self-aggrandizing show of his power. This Clark is hesitating because he wants to make sure she has cleared the crumbling road before moving on. In the face of a lot of cynicism in the recent movie landscape, including within the superhero genre, this Superman is heartwarmingly sincere. He genuinely cares and regards his abilities as a vehicle for compassion. So, yes, I loved it, especially Clark's character.
I really liked the dynamic between Lois Lane and Clark Kent. It's something I understand as a somewhat pessimistic, worst kind of scenario person, married to a self-described hopefulist, as opposed to an optimist. I also loved how compassionate Superman was, not just fighting bad guys, but really doing his best to mitigate harm. He even tries to find a peaceful solution with Lex Luthor's henchmen during a fight. It really was some of the things I talked about regarding Rebel Ridge a few months ago, a different paradigm for an action hero. This movie gave me a level of excitement with a story I haven't had for a long time, and I knew that had I watched this as a teenager, I would have stills from this movie on my school book covers right next to Peter Parker and Mary Jane from Sam Raimi's Spider-Man and Will Turner and Elizabeth Swann from Pirates of the Caribbean. But Caleb noticed a flaw in this film, a little niggling knot.
The trouble comes in the form of the Justice Gang. It is made explicitly clear when they first appear during the fight with the kaiju, that they hold to a different set of values than Superman. While Clark spends precious moments trying to figure out how to safely get the creature out of the city alive, the Justice Gang quickly resorts to violence, dispatching the creature without much thought. The movie holds both ideologies up next to one another as an intentional contrast. And it's clear within the narrative that we are meant to agree with Superman's approach. Self-sacrificing and believing in others, giving them a chance when no one else will, can and does actually bring out the best in people and can inspire them to courageous acts, as in the case of Metamorpho. And this is where I think that certain plot choices contradict the narrative heart of the film. At the end of the movie, the Justice Gang comes to rescue Jarenpur instead of Superman. And how do they solve this problem? In exactly the opposite way that Superman would have. They brutally, nonchalantly kill the soldiers and president of Baravia. The film wants us, the audience, to cheer for this as a big heroic moment. Even Superman doesn't offer a critique to what they did. And I think that choice foundationally compromises so much of what is done to prop up Clark's character. It effectively says, kindness, compassion, and inspiring people is great, except for the people we've decided are the real bad guys. They are unredeemable, so killing them is okay. The issues with this are acknowledged in a small way. Upon seeing the Justice Gang's actions on the news, the U.S. Secretary of Defense remarks, "Metahumans make the rules now." What do laws and courts mean? What do borders mean? When an incredibly powerful being can go anywhere they like, start or stop whatever actions they want. Whose choices really matter anymore? These are important questions, and I'm hoping we'll see those themes develop more in future films. But it doesn't solve for me the core tension. Namely, that Clark is able to keep his hands clean by letting other people do the killing instead of him. Even with as much as I loved this movie, I think this narrative dissonance hurts the overall composition of the film.
I think this is where we have to look at James Gunn's past. He might be the co-head of DC Studios today, but he started out in an entirely different sector of filmmaking. Troma Studios, a scrappy, independent film company. Troma specializes in schlocky, B-movie-style films. Not just low-budget or goofy. Kinda gross. Purposefully transgressive, offensive, and completely in bad taste. Now there's definitely a market for that. It's very much not my cup of tea, but it helps make a lot more sense of Gunn as a filmmaker. His baseline is boundary pushing. Now, Gunn has talked at length about how, while Troma's spirit of gritty filmmaking has stayed with him, some of his attempts to be edgy as he emerged into his own directing career in the 2000s are things he has left in his past. He's talked very much about how he identifies with the character of Rocket Raccoon from Guardians of the Galaxy, someone who pushes everyone out at arm's length with an abrasive sense of humor, and who has to learn to humble himself and participate in a positive community. And on one hand, there are definite themes that have emerged post the Marvel era. Gunn's whole shtick at this point is building up teams of messed up, morally dubious individuals learning to choose to do good while relying on each other. Every project he's done since then has this perspective. See the Justice Gang. On the other hand, he still has a warped streak. Caleb and I have only seen Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 once. At the time, it got written off as a slighter, merely funny film, which absolutely baffled us. Maybe it was just that we were parents of a toddler, but the mass infanticide plotline highly disturbed us, particularly the cavern filled with tiny skulls. Now, we liked that movie, too, but it's not one we ever wanted to watch again. And when we heard that Guardians 3 was very well made, but contained an extreme amount of animal cruelty, even as part of a plotline against animal cruelty, we decided it wasn't for us. I probably would be fine watching it, but I know Caleb wouldn't be, and I'm not sure I could forget that fact while watching it.
In a similar vein, there is a sequence in this film where Superman has to fight off a horde of enemies, all while holding onto a baby. I do not like this sequence. It goes on for far, far too long. All the while, the baby is in serious, imminent peril. As a dad, that is the stuff of nightmares. And even though the baby is fine in the end, it feels unnecessarily gratuitous. I was immensely grateful to be able to skip over the entire scene on my second watch through.
Now, this moral cognitive dissonance, this attempt to have your cake and eat it too with regard to radical kindness, might not be a flaw. There's a possibility this could be a plot point explored in future movies. When James Gunn first announced his slate of films for DC Studios, the stories he was working on, he announced a film based on The Authority. This is a fairly obscure superhero group, but here's how Gunn summarizes them. They think the world is broken and want to fix it by any means necessary. And here, that's not a good thing. The Authority are anti-heroes who get carried away. They begin by intervening to do good and end up doing harm instead by prioritizing their idea of what's good instead of real goodness. This movie might not come out. It no longer has a release date. But considering the way Gunn talked about it initially, there are definitely ideas in here that might come out in a future movie. And in that case, what seems like a flaw to us right now might just be the groundwork for a future conversation about the problems with moral relativism and the limits of vigilante justice. If there's a future movie where Superman has to face off against the Authority, initially founded because of his actions, that's just good storytelling. But a lot can change in film development. Gunn might never actually address this. And even if he does, right now, in 2025, the response to the Justice Gang's actions is pretty sad. I've read a lot of reviews and watched a lot of video essays about this film. And what Caleb and I see as a flaw, most of the internet sees as a strength. This film isn't about real political conflicts, but it kinda is. There are multiple unjust invasions happening right now in our world. It's hard to believe that it's a coincidence that Moravia is in Eastern Europe with a Russian-accented president, that it's also an ally of the United States, and that its army is prepared to shoot brown-faced children. And there are several real-world leaders who have perpetuated violence against innocents with seemingly no consequences. When there is such evil being committed, it can be tempting to just want someone to make it stop by any means necessary.
Which is why I think this version of Superman, this Clark Kent, is so important. To him, everyone is important. Everyone is worth saving, even when it is the thing which requires greater effort. Even his enemies deserve his every attempt to bring them around. As a non-human, Clark shows us that all humans are infinitely valuable. I want to leave you with a quote from Pa Kent given to Clark at his lowest moment, when he's questioning everything, all of his choices and actions. Parents aren't for telling their children who they're supposed to be. We are here to give you all tools, help you make fools of yourselves all on your own. Your choices, your actions, that's what makes you who you are.
Thanks for coming. Thank you.